Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. I know it's late, but there was so much to cover. The world needs to slow down and give Yang Daily a break. Here's yesterday's news. Ranked choice voting is currently on the ballot in three states, Alaska, Massachusetts, and North Dakota. If you live in any of those states, please follow the link below and help upgrade your democracy. Join the Poor People's Campaign for a virtual mass assembly on June 20th and symbolic march on Washington. Protesting from the comfort of home, the future has truly arrived. And of course, BLM protests are going on this Juneteenth weekend as well. As protections run out, landlords in New Orleans are literally lining up at courthouses to file for evictions. We are about to see a wave of homelessness, and it's going to spread across the country. Congress should have solved this by now, but they haven't, and Republican senators don't show any sign that they care to. Kentucky, on the other hand, still has not processed all their unemployment insurance claims from March, much less the following months. Lines to speak to social workers stretch for 8 hours every day, with people packed together like sardines, most of whom are trying to fix errors or apply on extenuating circumstances, such as having quit a job where precautions against COVID were not being taken. It's so bad that the city is putting up covered walkways to shade the people waiting in line. For the love of God, when you are erecting temporary structures to accommodate the failure of your bureaucracy, it's time for a new system. And this is the system Congress chose to use to distribute aid in an emergency when they could have done UBI instead. The incompetence is palpable. John Bolton, following his resignation from the Trump administration, has written a book on his experience in office, which is soon to begin selling. It's already been picked up by numerous reporting agencies who are releasing excerpts. Meanwhile, Trump is using the Department of Justice to try and block the book's release, claiming it contains confidential information that could threaten American lives. National security, you know, the usual when the government wants something drowned. Choice bits like Bolton saying that Trump lobbied China to help him win re-election by pandering to swing states by getting China to buy agricultural products in bulk are already causing an uproar, while many Democrats question why Bolton didn't come forward with this information during the impeachment trial. Never a dull moment when Trump's involved. Also, never a lack of accusations of treason. Meanwhile, Lindsay Boylan stirred up her own controversy at the New York debates. While I was relatively impressed with both her and Herzog as far as policy, Lindsay was overtly rude toward both her competitors during the debate, and on Twitter blocked a ton of Yang Gang, many of whom had not even had any contact with her. Not a winning approach, Lindsay. Both of the officers in the shooting of Rayshard Brooks have now been charged. Garrett Rolfe is being charged on 11 counts, felony murder, 3 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, criminal damage to property, violation of oath, and aggravated assault. The district attorney says Garrett kicked Rayshard Brooks while his partner stood on Rayshard's shoulders after Brooks was shot. They also never read him his rights or even told him he was under arrest. Back to Kentucky, Breuer's campaign released a letter detailing their strategy and argument for them winning the primary and general. I was hoping this would contain some real hard evidence that they have a chance in the primary, but unfortunately, it did not, which means that they probably do not have that evidence. Saying you're the best candidate to win rural votes, which are 3/4 of Kentucky votes, is great for the general. It does overlook the issue of name recognition. But that doesn't help much in the primary, where, if I'm not mistaken, the vast majority of the votes will be from the big cities, which the campaign doesn't even pretend to have a shot at winning. Basically, there was nothing to refute the completely one-sided poll that Booker put out. If Mike were the nominee, I'd feel good about it, but the unfortunate reality is, if you can't win the primary, you can't win the general. I think that Mike and Booker working together could win the general. What we must avoid at all costs is Amy winning the primary, because she's a certain loss to Mitch. And from what I'm seeing, that's exactly where we're headed right now, with both Mike and Booker staying in the race. They really need to come together and pick one right now, or we're all facing 6 more years of McConnell. I hate having to make these arguments, but the stakes are too high to be playing around with the outcome. And the behavior of both Booker and Mike, as far as this so far, has been really sad and disappointing to me. Humanity Forward endorsed two new candidates in New York, Ron Kim for District 40, and there's no way I'm not going to mangle this name, but here goes, Yulin New of District 65. This adds to those they've already endorsed in New York, Jeremy Cooney, Nate McMurray, and Costa Constantinides. What a field. Evelyn also gave Yulin a shout-out for standing with survivors of Dr. Haddon's sexual assault back before it became big news. Scott wrote a new article on why UBI is more beneficial to us than tax cuts. The gist of it is that UBI allows the poor, particularly the homeless, to prosper, getting jobs or better jobs and paying more in taxes as a result, whereas tax cuts do little or nothing for the poor and mostly just make the rich richer. Basically, UBI invests in people to grow the economy, reduce costs elsewhere, and increase prosperity. Might want to bookmark it for when you run into that objection. Andre Adam, a high school student, wrote an article on why UBI would be superior to Canada's emergency benefit program, specifically that UBI wouldn't provide the disincentive to work and opportunity for fraud in that regard, as CERB does. Basically, the same issue we're having here with the bonus UI. Maybe we need to send our senators back to high school so they can gain some of this wisdom. Diane Pagin interviewed with Larry Liu on his podcast to discuss her experience with the welfare system and why it led her to support UBI. Diane was the one who encouraged Scott to read Tyranny of Kindness. Scott discussed UBI with Launchpad CEOs Chris Schultz and Ann Driscoll, as well as Mayor Tubbs, with Lifestyle Business on LPTV. Scott also joined Andrew Heaton on his podcast, The Political Orphanage, to talk UBI. Scott recommends this one for UBI newbies and policy wonks alike. And of course, don't forget to listen to Rutger Bregman's interview on Yang Speaks. Erica Rhodes was on the Robots Are Coming podcast for an interview on innovation in education, police reform, and the future of educational technology. That should be really interesting. I've never heard her interviewed before, but I do know that she has plenty of value to share. Yang tweeted something that we should all remind ourselves of. It was this, quote, "Believing in the United States of America also means believing in our capacity to change, evolve, and grow," end quote. The reason I wanted to highlight that statement is that I too often see people thinking that being a patriot means defending the status quo. Some people get so caught up in defending things like the Constitution that they forget it's already been amended many times because it was a great guide for the time in which it was written, but it's not sufficient as is to carry us into the future. The founders knew this. That's why they set up a procedure for adding to it and made it a living document. The same kind of resistance can be seen in the people who oppose the replacement of welfare with UBI. What is true of the Constitution is also true elsewhere. The American people and the world continue to evolve, and our institutions must evolve with them. A nation that refuses to change cannot be great. Greatness comes from the unending pursuit of progress. That's what it is to be a leader. To be a patriot is to support this as well. The time for another evolution has come, in policing, in democracy, and in the economy. It's time for the next great leap. Ending on the most important issue, Tennessee residents are currently debating over replacing the statue of not only a Confederate soldier but a KKK leader with none other than Dolly Parton. Dolly is not only a famous figure and national treasure for her lyrical talent, but has also been an avid philanthropist. Recall that we covered her supplying a basic income to victims of a fire a while back. Hard to argue against replacing a symbol of hatred and slavery with one of love and freedom. Cast your vote for Dolly today. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Check the RCV ballots. Join the PPC and BLM events this weekend. Look into Yulin and Ron and consider supporting them. Bookmark Scott's UBI versus tax cuts article. Help advocate for clear, fundamental policy goals for the protests. If you're going out to protest, wear protection, especially on your eyes, head, and throat. If you get arrested while protesting, remember not to say anything without a lawyer. Whatever you choose to do, be wise, be safe, and act with measured purpose toward real solutions. And don't forget, to Yang Daily.